Today's scripture reading will be coming from Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 42. And it says, "They then that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers."
It is great to see everyone here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We do want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest. We're so thankful for you being here on this morning. Today, I want us to study for a few minutes on reasons to fellowship. Reasons to fellowship. Great passages that have been read in our hearing concerning the first century church and how they that gladly received his word were baptized. 3,000 souls were added, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. We think about those great passages, and here the first century church had just begun. It's a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 2, where the law of the Lord was going to be going forth from Jerusalem. And we notice that the law was being taught, not the law of Moses, but the law of Christ. Christ is now king. He's sitting on the throne of God, the throne of David, rather, and he's ruling. And God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church. But it's also a fulfillment of Daniel 2, where in the days of these kings, God should set up a kingdom that shall not be moved, that shall not be left to men. And that's exactly what took place during the Roman Empire. The kingdom of God, the church, was established and the gospel was being preached. But it's also a fulfillment of Joel 2, where we find the miraculous taking place and how the age of the Spirit was going to be taking place. And that's exactly who was guiding the apostles in Acts chapter 2, which is a fulfillment of John 16, verses 7 through verse number 13. So we hear this, we see this fulfillment taking place in Acts chapter 2. And great fellowship was taking place. And because of that, we find individuals finding security in Christ. Friends, when we consider that and consider some of these great passages, I want us to think about this particular text as it relates to fellowship. In this context, the word fellowship, there's koinonia, joint participation. Pretty sure when we consider joint participation, we can throw in a few things there. We can throw in singing. We can also throw in giving, but we can also throw in them spending time with one another. When we consider this great fellowship that they had, friends, God desires for us to have that great fellowship as well. In that fellowship, it is a time for strengthening, a time for encouragement, a time to be motivated, a time to be empowered to keep and do the will of Almighty God. Friends, we consider this first century church and what they had to go through in order to be God's people. And remember how they had came from different areas. You look at in Acts chapter 2 and verses 6 and following, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, Cappadocia and Pontus, Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia. And the list goes on of these different nationality of Jews who came from different locales to come and worship God. And they heard the gospel. But all they had was themselves. All they had was each other. All they had was their environment, if you will. We consider some of those things, and we as the people of God, we have to keep that in mind as the Lord's church. That we ought to be a people who are developing an environment. The environment that God has developed in his Son, Christ Jesus. When we consider the great teachings of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, take notice real quick of what was connected to the fellowship, the apostles' doctrine, the teachings of the apostles. Keep in mind that during the Old Testament, it was the time in which God would use angels and use men in order to get his message across. But now he was going to be speaking through his apostles. His apostles had that limited commission in Matthew chapter 10, and now the great commission of Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
When we consider this and these individuals who have now obeyed the gospel, now they're part of this great family, this great environment, same environment that we're part of even today, friends. It is a blessing to be a member of the Lord's people, a member of the Lord's church. It is in this apostles' doctrine that they are learning how to be good, upright, righteous individuals. Galatians 5:22-23, walking according to the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16, the fruit of the Spirit. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and following, adding to your faith. These are the things that were involved in this great fellowship. We think of the fellowship that we ought to have today. It ought to be based upon the apostles' doctrine as well. You know, today we're going to be having a great fellowship at the Sherwell's house. I know they don't mind me saying this. This is a perfect opportunity for us to come together. I hope you don't have anything going on today after service. As a matter of fact, you come tonight and I won't keep you long because we're going to have a great time tonight at the Sherwell's house. And the reason why is because we want to engage in the apostles' doctrine. We want to engage in the great fellowship. But they were also engaged in the breaking of bread, which we did today, this morning, but also in prayers. Friends, you consider fellowship. What is fellowship? Joint participation, number one, with Almighty God. Number two, with one another. On last week, I gave an illustration how our relationship with the Lord is first vertical and then horizontal. And really, that's where it ought to be. That our relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ is strong because of its vertical connection. But also, it is strengthened because of its horizontal connection. Could it be that many are not engaging in their horizontal connection because their vertical connection is not as strong as it needs to be? This is why we come together on the first day of the weekend. And what great opportunity to hear the great singing. What great opportunity to remember the Lord's death till he returns. What great opportunity for us to offer up prayers unto our God, to give of our means. What great opportunity to hear the preached word. And friends, all of that is designed to encourage us, to strengthen us, to motivate us, to do the will of God, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Friends, God wants us to be a people who are lifted up, a people who are encouraged, a people who are prayerful, a people who enjoy fellowship. You know, the first century church, if I can just say this real quick, oftentimes when there was an issue, the congregation would immediately go into prayer. I'm reminded in Acts chapter 4 and verses 8 and following when we find the apostles and they're in prison because of their stance for Jesus Christ. The church had just begun and now we find that the church went into prayer and they prayed for boldness. And the apostle Peter, when he came there, he prayed for boldness, quoting from Psalm 2. Why does the heathen rage? And then in Acts chapter 12, you remember, they had killed James. Herod had killed James, and he was waiting for the Passover to pass. He was going to also kill Peter. The Bible teaches us that the church prayed for him. You know, the Lord answered that prayer all because of that fellowship. What are some things that can take place in our fellowship? How about Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, where we find Paul and Silas who are in prison because they had removed or cast out a demon out of a little girl, the girl of divination. The Bible teaches us that they were in prison singing and praying, fellowship. Why do we say this? Because fellowship is powerful. Friends, it is important for us to fellowship with one another. It's important for us to spend time with one another. It's important for us because we are of a like mind, of a precious faith, a like precious faith, as Peter would say. There is great encouragement when you find people who you think alike. Question. How often do we think like God so we can all think alike? Could it be that many who are not fellowshipping in the church because they have too much fellowship with those on the outside? That's a great question. That's a question that we have to be reminded of. That if I'm not careful, that my fellowship with those on the outside will be greater than my fellowship with my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus Christ, my Lord. The Spirit through his teaching and
his great people. And friends, we are a great people. And you know why we're a great people? Because we're in Christ. We understand that things happen in our lives, and because of that, we need something that we can gravitate to, that we can hold fast to. And friends, that's fellowship. That's joint participation. And fellowship is powerful because of the great character of Jehovah. And friends, I put this in my notes, that God is a high standard of morality. And the more that I thought about that, Brother Williams, the more I said to myself, no, that's wrong. God is not a high standard of morality. God is the morality. He is the source of morality. The only way that we can know that we can do what is right and be right is because God has left us a great source of his word of morality. How do I know what is moral and immoral? Because God has left it for me. God is holy, 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. No wonder the command there is to be holy, even as I am holy. You know, when we come together and we're fellowshipping with one another, not just here because of the great singing and the preached word, and we're hearing what thus saith the Lord, but when we get outside of the walls and we're spending time with one another, we are a people of a like precious faith. Again, we get to hear what we read and what we study and what we apply. So God says, be holy. Why? I'm holy. God is righteous, and therefore we ought to be righteous. God is merciful. Exodus 34, therefore we're merciful. You know, it's outside of these walls at times that we really learn who we are. And we get to spend time with one another and encourage one another and help one another. You know, it's when you have those fellowships and you have a group of people and they're over there and they're having a great time, and then you have two or three and they're in a corner and they're talking about the word, confessing fault to one another, James 5:16, encouraging one another, building up one another in the most holy faith, Acts 20 and verse number 32. Friends, that's where the encouragement is. And it's at those times that you can hop in your car, you can go home, and as you're driving home, you can say it was good to be at the Shirley's. All because of the fellowship. I believe maturity really has to be where it needs to be for you to appreciate the fellowship that God has in store for his people. It is through that fellowship that we have that great stability. We have that great fixation, if you will. I was looking at that word stability. And here lately, the word fixed has been in my vocabulary. A fixed rate. Fixed income. Do we understand that in Christ, we have a fixed fellowship? Y'all think about that for a second. A fixed fellowship. One thing that never changes is Jehovah. His word doesn't change. Fellowship with him doesn't change. Joy in Christ doesn't change. Why? It's fixed. It's fixed. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 1. Let's start at verse number 1. And let's glean some great gems from God's book, the Bible. You know, the more I'm thinking about this, I'm getting happier and happier and ready for the fellowship tonight. And friends, we need to have more fellowship, because the more fellowship we have one with another, the less we will want to have with those who don't have fellowship with God. And when we do have fellowship with those who are not in Christ, we're having that joint participation to bring them to Christ. To Christ. That's what we're trying to do. Notice 1 John 1, starting at verse number 1. Remember, we use the word fixed or fixation. Notice this. That which we have from, which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Notice the language here. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was revealed, manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, meaning that we have told about it. We bore record of it. We vouched for it.
and declared to you, we told it to you, we preached it to you, that eternal life, which was with the Father and was revealed to us, that which we have seen and have heard, we declare to you that you may also, or you also may have fellowship, joint participation with us. Now, here the Apostle John is representing the apostleship, if you will. And he says that we have experienced Jesus Christ. We have empirical evidence that Jesus was manifested, and we saw him, and we heard him, and we touched him. And what we want you to believe us, because it's true. But notice what he says. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Why? Why do we bring this passage up, Raphael? Let me tell you why. Remember we brought up Acts 2 and verse 42, the apostles' doctrine, and how it is the apostles' doctrine because of the authority that was vested in them by Jesus Christ. God gave Jesus that authority. Jesus gave that to the Spirit. The Spirit gave it to the apostles. We're to listen to the apostles. The apostles said that we've handled Jesus. We touched Jesus. We saw Jesus. And the message that we're giving to you is from Jesus.
Wow. Question. Can you tell when people have been with Jesus? They did.
They could tell. You know, people ought to be able to tell that we spend time with Jesus. Our speech, our lifestyle, the places we frequent, the things that we purchase, things that we spend time with. Oh, friends, John is telling these brethren here that we have empirical evidence. And we want you to believe us because the record is true. Question. If we were to invite those who may not know Christ yet looking for him to our fellowship, Brother Chad, could they see Jesus in us? Would they hear it in our speech? Would they see it in our demeanor? Would they see how excited we are about the Lord? You know, I love those calves. I love when James, I love that. But you know, I don't love him more than Jesus. As a matter of fact, those calves are going to be playing tonight while we're fellowshipping. You know what I'm going to be focused on? The fellowship. If after the fellowship that the calves won, hopefully, then it's going to be a great day. And if they lose, it's going to be a great day. Here's the point. The fellowship that I may have with the television should not weigh the fellowship that I have with my brethren. You know, sometimes the fellowship we have with our phones and gadgets outweigh the fellowship we have with those who are in our presence. Oh, friends, God wants us to be fixed. He wants us to be a people who are fellowshipping with his Son and fellowshipping with his people. Because it is in that fellowship we get to strengthen our faith with our words. In Colossians chapter 4, turn your Bibles there and look at verse 5 and 6. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, we notice something that the Apostle Paul desired for the church at Colossae to do. He says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Always be with grace, seasoned with salt, in order that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Friends, if that is important for us as we are talking to those who may not know Christ, Isn't it just that much more important when we're talking to one another? Encouraging one another. Question, what are you doing tonight about 7 o'clock? I have an invitation for you. Some fellowship. Great fellowship. I'm not talking about the food that's going to be cooked, even though that's going to be good too. But I'm talking about getting to know a brother or sister. You just might encourage a brother or a sister to stay with the faith. Amen. Friends, fellowship requires me not being selfish. Well, I don't have time. Let's make time. Oh, the Lord made time to send his son, and his son made time to give his life. We ought to make time for the Lord and for one another. That fellowship. Fellowship with the Father is possible and only made possible because Jesus said, I am the door. It's only made possible because Jesus said, I am the way. And I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Look at chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 through 25, here the Hebrews writer has something very powerful to say. We consider Jesus Christ and what he had to go through in order for us to even have fellowship with the Father. Friends, he had to leave the Holy of Holies to come down upon the earth in order to save us from our sins, that we may be able to enter into the Holy of Holies. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful that Jesus left the Holy of Holies, came down here among men who could care less about him, just to die for our sins and to be raised back to the Holy of Holies, and now we can enter into the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ? Wow. And it is in that fellowship that we grow to appreciate one another. It is in that fellowship that a husband and wife who are in Christ appreciate one another. It is in that fellowship that children appreciate their God-fearing parents. In Hebrews 9, starting at verse 23, therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, talking about the temple, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hold on. In Hebrews chapter 4, turn your Bibles there and look at verse number 14. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our infirmities, our weaknesses, our scruples, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need. The only way that I can go to the Father and enter into the Holy of Holies is because of this great man, Jesus Christ, who had fellowship with his Father and desired to have fellowship with us. And he says, I don't want to leave them to themselves. I want to save them. And the ones that are saved, I want them to have full and complete access to you, Father. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. And sometimes we feel as if we're in this all by ourselves, friends. If you're in Christ, you're never by yourself. Never. You're able to go into the Holy of Holies. And this is why we, as the people of God, James chapter 1, turn your Bibles there, 26 and 27, are not only believers, but we are practicers of pure religion. What is the world looking for today? They're looking for the same thing in which they were looking for 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 100 years ago, 500 years ago. They're looking for pure, unadulterated fellowship. And friends, people don't want to see hypocrites. People want to see individuals who have fellowship with God, fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with the Word, fellowship with the church, and they're pure-minded individuals. And the question we have to ask ourselves is this: am I that? If I'm not, let me get that way. If I am, let me stay that way. If I know people who are not that way, let me help them get there.
James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. If anyone among you thinks himself to be religious, does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The word unspotted there is the idea of not being admixtured with that which is false. Insincerity, stained, hypocrisy, blame, corruption. Why is that important? It's important because when we consider fellowshipping with one another, because of the apostles' doctrine, and because of prayers, and because of the blood of Christ, friends, what that does, when it brings us closer together, we have an aim, we have a goal, we have a purpose. Yea, we have a discipline. We have a discipline. I hope, pray, and trust, Brother Shirtle and Sister Shirtle, that your house is so packed that you can't wait to do it again. Because that's going to encourage them to open up their home again. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to encourage someone else to open up their home. And then someone else to open up their home. And the next thing you know, we have non-Christians seeing pure religion being practiced. And they're going to be motivated to come and want to worship. I believe that. And I know you do too. Our discipline, which is due to Christ's suffering and death, and due to the Father's love and mercy, and due to our fellowship with one another, all because we spend time together. And friends, it's like any other relationship. If you don't nurture it, it will die. How's your relationship with the Lord? What are you doing tonight around 7:15? Can you come worship? Come fellowship with us? Is there something that might get in the way? If you don't know where Brother Chad lives, Sister Leslie lives, you get their address. And when they open up the door and they see your beautiful face, they're going to say, come on in. Good to see you. Sometimes I wonder if we really want a fellowship. We go to work. We go play. But what about the Christian that's struggling and needs that fellowship? Need that encouragement? There's one thing to go out there and seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10. But Jesus was just as or even more concerned about his disciples and the lost sheep of the house of Israel. One preacher said this one time, and it's 100% true. He said, there's no need of going out seeking and saving if the base is not stable. We got to keep one another encouraged. So the question we ask ourselves is, what can I add to the Church of Christ at 9th and Main? How can I make the fellowship better? How can I make it more on a wholesome vein and plane? How do I personally, as a Christian,
who is obligated to God and obligated to the church to be a light to not only San Angelo, but to the Church of Christ here. How can I make it better?
Can you come tonight and bring Christ with you? It's a good question. You know, anytime we come together, we ought to bring Jesus with us. Anytime we go to work, we ought to take Jesus with us. Anytime we go home to our beautiful spouses, we ought to take the Lord with us. One old preacher said years ago, if the Lord can't go with you, you don't need to go there. Amen. It's a good, good statement. Can you come and grow in your purity with us and bring purity with you that we can grow? Can you come and desire to talk about spiritual things? Will you attempt to leave the fellowship encouraged, empowered to invite someone else to the next one? Will you allow your growth to help your family and your community? Can the Lord count on you to be an encouragement to your brethren? You know, it's interesting. Jesus lived his life in a way that his Father in heaven, John 8:29, could count on him. And I know that we desire that too. Let's live our lives in a way for one another, to encourage one another. And just as the first century church, all they had was one another. In the midst of a Jewish community that didn't want them to obey the gospel or to come back into Judaism. No, all we have is one another. We're going to stick with Jesus. That's what we have to do. It is in fellowship with the saints that we grow and appreciate Christ and his suffering more and more. Philippians 3:10. We develop lasting and solid friendships that help us to bond with one another and to bond with Christ and to help those on the outside to see the bond that we have with one another, John 13:34-35. And when they see that bond, then they'll know that we are the disciples of Christ. I close with this statement. We are to live our lives in fellowship with one another to demonstrate that we are truly walking in the light as Jesus himself is the light. I said all of that to say that Acts 2:41-42 is powerful because when they obeyed the gospel, they fellowshiped. They stayed with one another. Let's stay together. Let's encourage one another. Let's go to the struggles tonight. Let's have a great time in fellowship with one another. I guarantee you, when you leave, you'll be encouraged. I promise you. You bring Jesus with you tonight, you'll leave encouraged. Now, if you have to work, we understand that. But if you're not doing anything, come fellowship with us. You'll have a great time. Tonight, come back. We're going to be talking about evangelism. The reason why we're going to talk about evangelism, because on Wednesday night, we had two great brothers from Wyoming come and they gave a presentation and stirred me up. I don't know about some of y'all, but it's just stirred me up. We're going to be talking about that tonight. We need to get stirred up and start inviting folk. Brother Dennis always says we need Bible studies. Y'all have a friend that needs to study the Bible? Get those studies to us and we'll study with them. Is that right, Brother Dennis? We'll study with them. And we got enough men here. It's time for us to help people to have a better life out there. You want your neighbors to be Christians because then you don't have to worry about folk peeking in your house. But we're Christians. Maybe you're not a child of God. Maybe you're not a Christian. Friends, this is an important decision for you to contemplate. You don't have to make it right now, but you need to contemplate being a Christian.
being a follower of Jesus Christ, that you can have fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with the Father and fellowship with His people. So you can be on your way to heaven. You can be so glad. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will save you. And He will add you to the greatest fellowship on the face of the earth. Church. That's the greatest fellowship on the face of the earth. But maybe you're a child of God. And your fellowship with the Lord has waned. It's not as focused. It's not as clear. It's not as strong. It's not as empowered as it once was. Friends, let's have some courage. And let's dig down deep. And let's be motivated to say, you know, I need to do more for the Lord. He's done a lot for me. I'm ready to get not just faithful, but on fire for the Lord. Just stand as we sing the same song.